Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope spring is on the way, don't you? Well, we've had somewhat of a tough winter, lots of rain, lots of snow, and lots of cold. I don't know much about climate control. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that it's been kind of tough, and I'm looking forward to spring. And spring is almost here, and with spring comes baseball, and the baseball season's ready to kick off. The baseball season is one in which there are a number of players that make the news. You've heard a lot about players making a lot of money. Manny Machado signing with the Padres for $300 million, and Bryce Harper signing with the Philadelphia Phillies for $330. Was that it? Over 10 years? These guys make a lot of money, but you know there's a lot of players on baseball teams that don't make near that amount of money. And a lot of players on baseball teams that kind of, they kind of are key players, but they're just kind of players that fill out that 25-man roster. And we have with us today a guy who's a key player. He's one of the major parts of the Cincinnati Reds. Now, the Cincinnati Reds had a tough season last year. They just did not have they had a number of injuries, and they just did not have the big name player. And they made some changes over the winter. They got a new manager in David Bell, who ironically becomes the third member of his family to be a part of the Cincinnati Reds. When I was growing up near the Cincinnati area, I remember Gus Bell played the outfield, and then Buddy Bell played for the Reds, and now you've got David Bell. So they got three different ones of the Bell family, and the Reds are going to make some changes. But one change they did not make was this guy in their bullpen named Jared Hughes. And Jared's kind of an interesting character. Whenever the bullpen door opens, he runs full speed, full blast, as if he's in a full-on sprint to get to the mound. And when he gets to the mound, he is ready to go. And I had the opportunity last summer to sit down with Jared Hughes in the Cincinnati Reds dugout, and we had a really great time. We had a chance to talk. The interview was, quite honestly, interrupted in the middle because he had to go to a meeting, and sometimes that throws a little kink into the works. But Jared came back. He said, "Can you wait on me?" We did the first half of the interview, and then Jared came back for the second half of the interview. And, of course, one of the things that Jared likes to talk about is not only baseball, but he likes to talk about Jesus Christ. And that's why we wanted to have him on the show, and that's why we wanted you to hear his testimony. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the time that we had with Jared Hughes of the Cincinnati Reds. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right. Welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. And our guest today is a pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. And we're in the Cincinnati Reds dugout. Hopefully that we'll get the rain in, get the game in tonight. We got a little rain in the offing, but 6'7" relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds, Jared Hughes. Jared, thanks for being with us.
Tom, thanks for having me on. And yeah, I'm pretty tall. 6'7".
You're one of the tall. In fact, I heard that you started out basketball being your career. You thought maybe you're going to be a basketball player, and somebody came to you and said you'd be pretty strong on the mound. That's what you ought to be. Tell me about that.
So in middle school and elementary school, I played basketball every day after school. Of course, I played baseball as well, but basketball was my passion, and I wanted to be a great basketball player. I wanted that to be my sport in my future. So I got to high school, played a little bit of freshman basketball, played freshman baseball, and after freshman year, my high school baseball coach, Tip Lefebvre, Jim Lefebvre's brother, Jim Lefebvre. Oh, there's a tractor in the background here. Sorry about that.
That's no problem.
Jim Lefebvre was a major league coach. Tip Lefebvre had been a major league bullpen coach, catcher for a while, and Tip looked at me and said, "Jared, listen, I know I've seen this game for a while, and I know what it takes to be a major league pitcher, and I've seen some basketball. You've got a way better shot of being a 6'7" pitcher in the major leagues than you do being a 6'7" center in the NBA." And Tip ended up being really right about that, and I'm glad I took Tip's tip in that regard.
You know, you made a name for yourself here in Cincinnati by people recognize you because when the when you come out of the bullpen, when the gate opens, you come out like a bull, literally, running full speed to the mound. Tell me how that got started.
So I was in AAA at the end of what was looking like the end of a long, kind of unsuccessful minor league career. I hadn't had a lot of success. I didn't throw real hard. I pitched a contact and they hit it pretty hard. So I was just sitting there in the bullpen one day, and my catcher, Chris Watts, came up to me and said, "Jared, you know, man, you might not have much longer before they release you. You should just sprint in and throw every pitch as hard as you can and see what happens." So I started doing it, and about 2 months later, I was in the major leagues.
You were drafted out of Long Beach State, fourth round by the Pirates, 2006. Long Beach State, I know a couple of guys, Troy Tulowitzki, Evan Longoria, were on that team. Tell me about that Long Beach State, though. They apparently had some other guys.
A lot of major leaguers. At one point, I think there were 16 major leaguers in the major leagues. This is probably 2011 or 12. Some of the other names you would recognize would be Jared Weaver, Jason Vargas, Marco Estrada, Danny Espinosa, of course, Tulowitzki and Longoria, Brian Shaw, the pitcher for the Rockies. We've had a lot of major league success coming out of Long Beach State.
And as you come across these guys during the course of a season, do you still have contact with them? Do you still spend time with them?
Sure, yeah. Occasionally, I mean, if we ever come across each other, we'll at least say what's up and kind of talk on the field. Some of the guys that I actually went there with and we were better friends, we may go get dinner or something or go get breakfast before a game. But for the most part, it's just kind of saying what's up on the field and talking about the good old days of Long Beach State.
Now, you got to the majors with the Pirates in 2011. We were talking a little bit before about your first win. You didn't remember that one particularly, but you remember your first game. Tell me about your first game.
My first game was against the Houston Astros, and I came in to face Jimmy Paredes. I think there was a guy on base and two outs. I don't remember what base. But the first pitch, I want to say it was a sinker down and away, ground ball right to me. And I'm just sitting there with the ball in my glove after throwing that ball for my first pitch ever in my career. And I ran it to first base. I wasn't going to throw it. And I underhanded it to the first baseman. Got out of the inning, went to the dugout, and immediately was praying thanks to God for being able to pitch in the major leagues. I couldn't believe that I was there and had the opportunity to do that. And I just couldn't. It was a surreal moment to actually throw in a pitch in the majors.
When you get to the Pirates, there's a lot of people that have an influence on your game. And I know one of the guys that really means a lot to you is Clint Hurdle. Tell me about your relationship with Clint Hurdle.
Clint and I... we met in 2010, probably, or 11, somewhere around there, when I was in the higher minors, that was before I started sprinting in, actually. And Clint, I remember Clint saying, just living a life of faith and being such a wonderful role model. And he still is a role model to me. He still is a guide, a mentor to me, more in the off season than in the season, because during the season, we're kind of on opposite sides of the playing field, a little bit of enemies, if you will, in that regard. But he's just shown me so many things about the Christian faith. He encouraged me to continue going to chapel. Throughout the early minor leagues, I honestly did not follow my faith the way I should have. I didn't go to church every week. I didn't really have a passion to continue following it. And as soon as Clint encouraged me to do that, I understood that, oh my gosh, I really do have a passion to follow Christ, because Christ is love, and I am all about showing love in my life to my family. And I'm just so thankful that Clint kind of showed me the way.
Yeah, you talk about that. Tell me about your faith and when you first became a Christian.
So I first became a Christian in probably AAA, major leagues. I started going to chapel every week. I started reading the Bible and understanding, because I'd gone to Catholic high school, even though I'm not Catholic. I'd grown up going to Sunday school and going to church. But it was kind of like I listened. I didn't really learn. So when I started learning more about our faith, I really started understanding how wonderful it is and how much it really just makes sense, and it fits right into the lifestyle I want to live. I want to glorify Christ. I'm so thankful that God sent his son to forgive us for our sins. I mean, it is just an amazing moment in my life. It's an amazing part of my life, and I'm so happy that Clint Hurdle guided me towards that.
Yeah, in 2017, the Pirates released you. Tell me about that. Tell me how that affects you when you're so tied into an organization and they let you go.
That was tough. That was a tough moment, because I had spent my whole career with the Pirates, and I think I had a really bad spring training, and they didn't want to pay me the money I was owed. So they brought me in and said, good luck, see you. Sent me on my way, cut me on the last day of spring or the last week of spring. I was lucky that the Brewers stepped up to the plate, though, and were interested in signing me. They'd seen me pitch a lot over the previous 6 years with the Pirates and were ready to go.
Yeah, the Brewers picked you up, and there's some Christian guys on the Brewers. One guy that I know that you certainly spent time with the bullpen, Marcus Hainel. Tell me about Marcus, the bullpen coach.
Hey, Marcus is another good cat. He's another guy in the major leagues that is just an ultimate role model. He has a beautiful family. He's a man of faith. He's one of those guys you can just go up to talk to about anything in life. And he was just such a good person to be around for that whole season last year. I still am enjoying seeing him whenever we cross the Brewers' paths this year.
Tell me also, when the Brewers let you go and you come to the Cincinnati Reds, I heard the announcer say one time whenever Jared comes in to pitch against the Milwaukee Brewers, it seems like he has a little extra amp. Is that true, or are they just kind of looking at something different?
Yeah, I don't know. I might. I think against every team in the NL Central, I want to beat them a little extra. I want to beat everybody, but the NL Central, I mean, we're trying to win this thing. I know we're out of it this year, but every game in the NL Central matters a lot. So any team we're facing here, I'm getting after it.
Jared Hughes is our guest. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. We're talking once again to Jared Hughes, the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. And Jared, let's talk a little bit more about your faith. Tell me, I've seen so many different things. Clint Hurdle, as we said before, said that you are a real role model to him. In fact, the quote is, Jared is a good servant of Christ. What does that mean to you, to be a good servant of Christ?
To me, that means to follow Christ and to be thankful for everything that I have in my life and everything we've been given. I feel like for me, to be a good servant of Christ is to, follow Christ's role. I mean, is there really a better role model than Jesus Christ? I mean, so for me, that's how I see it.
He put you in this position. You're with the Cincinnati Reds. You're with the Pirates for a number of years, and you're with the Brewers, and then you're with the Reds. You feel like that this is God saying to you, I've got you with the Pirates. Now your time's up. I want you to have an influence with the Brewers and now with the Reds.
I do feel like that. Absolutely. And everywhere I go, I try to, share my faith with my teammates. And if anybody wants to talk about God or wants to talk about being a Christian, I'm always open to talk about it. I know Michael Lorenz and I have some good conversations, just even in the outfield for batting practice or wherever, whenever. I think that just going around the league, and at this point, I mean, I'm 33 years old and I've done it for a little while. I feel like I can be, like, guys look up to me. So if they're wondering why I'm here, number one reason is my faith, I would say.
Tell me what Baseball Chapel means to you.
Baseball Chapel's huge. I mean, without that, I'd be lost because we have to be at the field at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So, I guess I could go. I mean, I know I have in the past, if I haven't been able to make Baseball Chapel, watch church on TV. But overall, it's just a great way for us to, worship together. And sometimes I've been in chapel where we've been both teams together before a game because we might be different sides on the field, but that's not the case in life. So I think the Baseball Chapel is just, it's there for us. It's just always there for us.
Not just in the majors, but in the minors. Tell me what effect Baseball Chapel has on young players in the minors.
Oh my goodness. There's just so much, honestly, there's so much temptation in this game, and those guys are going out to the bars and everything, and there's always, like, you get home after the game or you get wherever you are and everybody wants to go out to the bar and go drink and party and do whatever. And I think that it's just really nice to have something there to remind you kind of how you should live your life or what really matters. And Baseball Chapel does that, and it kind of provides guys the way in the minor leagues, and it still does that in the major leagues. There's still temptation here. So being able to have something to go to, a rock like our faith, is really nice.
Yeah, none of us, of course, have ever experienced what you experience. Baseball season is a long season. I call it a lunch bucket job. You come in at 4 and you go home at midnight. What are some of the challenges, I will say, not just temptations, but what are some of the challenges of being a Major League Baseball player and being a Christian?
Wow, that's a good point. Good question. I think the main challenge is finding a way to keep perspective and stay humble. because, I mean, everybody kind of glorifies you as an athlete. Everybody thinks like you're something really special. And no, we're normal people. We just can play baseball, you know? So overall, the only person that should be glorified is Christ, right? The God should be glorified. Glorify God. So that's why I do it. A big part of why I do it is that so people see that and I can just kind of reflect. Like, you don't need to be glorifying me, glorify Christ.
People say, and I saw these quotes again, people say you are always positive. You've been one of the most positive guys on the team. I'm finding that out right here as I talked to you and we've gone through a little technical difficulty. And how important is it, not just for your team, but for just the image that you have for the fans, to be a positive role model for Jesus Christ?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's very important. I think that positivity, I don't know. I think I'm just a happy guy. And, I might be happy because I'm saved. That might be the reason. I'm so positive. I'd say it is the reason. It's no might involved. That is the reason. So I think that, yeah, that's what I got on that. That's why I'm so positive. And positivity plays. When you go to work every day, when things start turning into a grind, when you realize that, you know what, this isn't anything compared to what Christ went through for us. Overall, I'm just always going to be happy because of that.
Yeah, let's talk about the grind a little bit. We're down toward the end of the season here. The Reds have been out of the pennant race for a long time. What's it like, and what do you feel your role is on this team? You're a veteran. What do you think your role is on this team as you get to this particular situation in the season where it's got to be kind of tough?
Well, my role is always going to be come in and get ground ball outs. That's what they want me to do. Come in and throw strikes.
That's your working role.
Exactly. That's my working role. My role off the field is to be there for guys, to be a positive influence, to show them that no matter where we are in the season, no matter what the situation is in terms of wins and losses, that you need to continue working hard. So I was in the gym today working out. There were other guys in there too. The season's not over. And not only is this season not over, but we have to stay healthy and finish strong and build momentum into next season. And I think that that's going to be a big part of what I can do for the rest of the way here.
Your wife is an attorney. You have a great family. If baseball were to end right now, what would that mean to you, and what would the rest of your life be like?
If baseball were to end right now, I don't think baseball would ever end, though, because I'm just going to try to probably find a job in baseball somewhere. So for me,
I kinda, coach.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to try to stay involved with it for as long as I can. I know my wife isn't currently practicing, but she's a healthcare attorney. She works in like the buying and selling of health clinics when she's worked. So she is going to probably go back to work eventually. She would love to. I would love for her to. And maybe she can follow her dream now, and I can follow her around the country.
Yeah. Tell me. Again, tell me what your favorite verse might be. I know you've got a number of favorite verses, but as we close our interview today, tell me what a favorite verse might be for you.
I mean, it was at our wedding. Love is patient, love is kind. 1 Corinthians 13, I believe, through 15. That's probably my favorite verse. I just the idea of love, the idea of of it being read at our wedding, and my wife, and I love her so much. I think that's probably my favorite verse.
Jared Hughes, thanks for spending time with us. Good luck with the Reds, and hope the Reds will have a better season next year, and hope you'll be a big part of it. Thanks. And,
yes, sir, we will.
Thank you for your testimony.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
All right, Jared Hughes, pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. We'll take a break and be back, so don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you enjoyed our time with Jared Hughes. I certainly did. You know, I've been doing this a long time. And over the years, I just never get used to the fact that I get a chance to sit in the dugout, usually on a nice night, hopefully it's a nice night, where we can sit and talk to players. And one thing that really amazes me about baseball is just their openness. I know last year I had the opportunity to go to New York and sit with Nick Hundley of the San Francisco Giants. And these are players that sometimes they get moved around. Nick Hundley, not with the Giants anymore. Now he's with the Oakland A's. And as I look around, I see various players that move from team to team. You do an interview with them sometimes. I know a few years ago I did an interview with Ian Kennedy, who at the time was with the San Diego Padres, and now he's with the Kansas City Royals. And there's a lot of players in baseball particularly, I think, that get traded. And it's a little different because when you're on a basketball team, if you're in the NBA, you play like 80 games, but there's not quite as many players. And in the NFL, of course, you play, besides the preseason games and the postseason games, you play 16 or 17 games. But you play 162 games in baseball in the regular season. Plus, you've got the preseason, which is probably another 25 or 30 games. And you got a lot of different players. You get 35, 40 players. And I know that baseball seems to be more like a family. And I'm always amazed by the fact that when I get a chance to sit down with baseball players, they want to talk like you would talk to a member of your family. Sometimes basketball players are in a hurry, or sometimes they got to go somewhere, or the NFL, sometimes you have to kind of squeeze in your interview. But baseball, my favorite sport, my favorite players to interview, because you just get to sit down and relax with them, and it's just a lot of fun. And I hope you enjoyed our time with Jared Hughes. And if you're watching the Cincinnati Reds, keep an eye on that guy come flying out of the bullpen, and say a prayer for him. These guys know that you're praying for them. We tell them that all the time. We give them some material, devotional materials, and they always seem to love it. So when you think about watching the Reds, whether it be Jared Hughes, or there's some other Christian ball players on that team too. Scooter Jeanette's probably the leader, and he's got a fabulous story. We'll try to get his show on here sometime soon. But when you see these guys, pray for them. Let them know that you're thinking about them. And by the way, if you enjoy face-to-face and you want to hear more interviews, we've got them lined up for you. You can hear them at our website, which is at facetofaceradio.com. And I hope you'll check that out. Facetofaceradio.com. We've got a number of different players from a number of different sports. And some are high profile, some are not so high profile, but all of them have strong testimonies, and they want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Facetofaceradio.com. Well, we want to close today by taking you to a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, and kind of says this, talks about being humble, and talks about doing the right thing, but not doing it for other people, but doing it for the Lord. Matthew 6, 1 says this: be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do them in public. That means you don't do them and draw the attention to yourself. Because if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What we want to do is we want to do face-to-face, and we want that to be glorifying to the Lord, and we want to focus on Jesus, focus on what the Lord is doing, not on what Tom Rust is doing or even what the athlete is doing. We want to focus on how Jesus is working in our lives. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. Thank you.
We'll be right back.